Esto es
Interfaz. Un podcast de arquitectura de software, desarrollo, nuevas tecnologías y soft skills. Bienvenidos.
Hello everyone. My name is Rodrigo Díaz-Concha and this is another episode of Interfaz. Interfaz is a podcast about software architecture, software development, new technologies, and soft skills. That said, let me introduce you to Rachel Apple, who is part of the content team for ASP.NET and former MVP. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, Rachel. Thank you for your time. Before we go to the technical stuff, please tell us more about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I work on the content team for ASP.NET. So I write documentation at docs.microsoft.com. Mm-hmm. In this case, for ASP.NET and web-related technologies. Mm-hmm. But I have also done it for Azure Functions as well and other Azure topics. Mm-hmm. So many of the dev topics, I write the content. I also produce some videos and give presentations at conferences.
Mm-hmm. Like this one in Medellin, Colombia.
For example,
we are here in .NETconf 2017. And you came here to talk about TypeScript, right?
Yes.
That was the name of the session, the topic of your session, right?
Yes, TypeScript.
So TypeScript, I think TypeScript is the reason to use web technologies again. You know, it makes web technologies fun again because I'm not into JavaScript, so TypeScript makes JavaScript a little bit more exciting, right?
Yes, exciting as in much more like I like to put it, like a normal language.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's say that. Yeah.
One that doesn't need therapy.
Exactly.
Like JavaScript.
Yeah. And TypeScript, what is the version number of the latest TypeScript?
We're up to 2, and I forget the minor, but 2 is the important thing.
Okay.
And in version 2 is where TypeScript really saw an uptick. Mm-hmm. Because Angular mm-hmm. Adopted it.
Exactly.
And once Angular got behind it, then people started getting excited about it and being interested in it. Until then, it was not quite as well adopted. It was more like Microsoft put out their version of JavaScript, which is not really true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a superset of JavaScript.
Okay.
But it's so that you can write JavaScript and the writing of it is more like C#. You mm-hmm. get class keywords and extends instead of an inherits, but it does the same thing. You can create an object model mm-hmm. just like you do in C#. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff. And then also working with files on the web. Mm-hmm. Like you said, making web development fun.
Yeah.
What you can do is the way you arrange and organize your C# projects, you can now much more easily arrange your TypeScript files to mirror that.
Mm-hmm.
And then since it produces JavaScript, you can just dump those out mm-hmm. as the product that gets shipped mm-hmm. and off you go. It can go into your build process and your bundling and minification mm-hmm. and all that.
Okay.
So it does make it a lot easier to manage large complex projects
mm-hmm.
In the same way that you would a C# or a .NET application.
Okay. And what is the tool chain for TypeScript development? I mean, do you install like some templates in Visual Studio, or what do you need to have?
Yeah, you don't need a lot. You need the TypeScript transpiler. Now you can download that as a NuGet package or an NPM package.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you have Visual Studio, you can install it with Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the version, it might be an extension. you know, how that goes.
Yeah.
In VS Code, it supports TypeScript, and there's even a few extensions to help you out there as well with compilation and spell checking and things like that.
Okay, so now that you mentioned before that you were in the Azure Functions team making documentation for Azure Functions, how is Azure Functions and TypeScript related? Can you do Azure Functions in TypeScript? Or?
You can write Azure Functions using TypeScript.
So
Azure Functions supports many languages now. Of course, C Sharp and F Sharp, your classics, but also Python, PHP, Batch, Bash, JavaScript through Node, and TypeScript.
Okay.
So you have a buffet of languages that you can use in Azure Functions, and TypeScript is one of them. And Azure Functions is also a fantastic product from Microsoft. It's one of the, actually my favorite product right now from Microsoft.
Yeah, and it went mainstream, right? Well, I don't know if mainstream is the right word, but it went mainstream once the guys from Angular adopted it.
Yeah, so for TypeScript.
It's a very popular language since then. And what is the development process for a TypeScript project? I mean, with the best practices and architecture, what are those tasks and best practices that you have to have?
Well, the same ones that you would use in C Sharp. So you can organize your projects, like I said, to mirror the way that C Sharp is set up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have your models, views, and controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have your whole back-end API maybe done in ASP.NET Web API or in Azure Functions in any language, maybe some API code or just a function endpoint in HTTP that you want to connect to. And then you can use the TypeScript language for your HTML pages. Or any kind of, you know, web development that you're doing.
Yeah.
And you could take that and call the API via AJAX calls and things like that. And that could be the web API, or you could call the endpoints in Azure Functions right from the TypeScript code.
Okay. So what are those most popular questions you get in this, you know, in this kind of conferences about TypeScript?
Mostly about the organization.
Okay.
How should I organize it?
The structure of the project.
The structure of the project. And does my C-sharp structure have to change? No, it doesn't. You don't have to change anything. It's all client-side. So I suggest that you try to mirror what's going on in the back end. It gives more of a, you know, kind of a parallel to the back end and the front end that you might not have had before or was kind of clunky to do in pure JavaScript. Another is about making the object models. And because we get the class keyword, you get getters and setters, you get all of the rich things that you get in an object-oriented language. So you can just make your models, like I did a bank account, and I can inherit a savings account from that and a checkings account and all of that. So you can make a very similar model on the client side. And we're very client side heavy anymore with SPA apps and things like that. Of course, with Angular being the front runner for SPA app development.
And nowadays that JavaScript is evolving a lot. I mean, like, JavaScript is very powerful if we compare it with the JavaScript we had 5 years ago. Is there a need of a new TypeScript version, or do you think JavaScript is going to catch up with this kind of object-oriented way of thinking? Or
well,
there is
I,
going
I,
to all,
right.
you, we always need something like TypeScript, or what do you think?
Well, I think it already has. And what TypeScript is doing is it is a superset of JavaScript. And Microsoft is taking, I'm saying this like I don't work there, I do. So we are taking TypeScript, and we're first looking at the W3C's specs and standards. And because they're creating the specs, others have to create the implementation.
Yeah.
Right? So we're creating an implementation based off of the specs. So, and because it's a committee, you know, it takes a long time to get these things done.
Yeah, you're right.
And we are developers and therefore impatient.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my ES6 now, and I get to have it now.
Yeah.
So that's one of the benefits that that you're asking about. So I can start progressing forward with this notion of object orientation as a first class participant in TypeScript.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then this way, as we get to ES6 and, you know, beyond, we're not gonna have to worry about it. It's gonna kind of connect and be one and the same at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Have you been following the WebAssembly project?
A little bit, yeah. Not in big detail, but.
You know, the if they allow us to run C# code in the browser, a lot of things are going to change, right?
Because, yes, because that basically could be a competitor to knock JavaScript out.
Yes, of
and
course.
A lot of people really, in many ways, there's the love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Of JavaScript.
I know.
It's hard to get people in between.
I raise my hand right now. I hate it. That's why I like TypeScript.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the weird in-between people. I can write pure JavaScript, object-oriented stuff using, you know, the patterns and the purest practices.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, I'm lazy. So that's number one, I'm lazy. Number two, when you do it the pure way, maintenance is much more difficult because there's just so much more legwork you
have to
do.
It
is what I call ugly code.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about code when your eyes scan through it and the code actually looks nice, it's easier to maintain.
I don't care what anybody says.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact, right?
Yeah,
that's just how developers physically interact with the code.
Yeah.
And TypeScript alleviates those problems,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have to search for a parenthesis quite as much as you would in pure JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of actual interaction with the code changes and it makes it much better. So I prefer TypeScript for that reason,
mm-hmm.
As well as just being lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also you mentioned the questions. Another huge question I get all the time is, can I use TypeScript with jQuery? Well, sure, because it's just JavaScript, right? Or can I use TypeScript with whatever JavaScript framework you want, Angular, Knockout, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the answer is always yes, because it is just
It's just
more JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see how that WebAssembly thing goes and evolves, right?
Yes, we might have some competition.
In the JavaScript space, but also in the TypeScript space.
Right.
It's going to be an interesting year next year, I think so, if these guys release something for us next year.
We'll see how it... if it gains popularity quickly or not.
Yeah, exactly, or it dies.
Yeah, and our industry is so fickle, sometimes you just can't tell where it's gonna go.
I know,
I'm
a former Silverlight MVP, you know?
Oh,
so
I know. You know.
Yeah, I know that feeling, yeah, I know. So, Rachel, we have signature question in this podcast. Are you ready for the question?
Yes, I think so.
So the question is, if we open your backpack, what we're going to find?
Yes, well, how's this? I have my backpack. So of course, my computer is always in my backpack, and my phone, and my wallet. I have some little electronics, the cables and things like that. So it's my nerdy backpack. Often I will have a sweater in here as well in case I get cold.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm in South America, alfajores. They're my favorite treat in the whole world. And so my friends get them for me.
These are
Havanas.
Havanas from Argentina. Delicious.
My favorite. So I have the Havanas in here and usually some other snacks.
Okay.
I like the snacks.
Yeah, you never know, right? You never know when it's snack time.
Yep.
Right? So, well, Rachel, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your time again. And everyone, thank you for listening to another episode of Interfaz. See you next time.
Adios.
Adios.
'Los esperamos en la siguiente emisión de Interfaz. Hasta la próxima.